Did you know that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression? But a good word makes it glad. Here's Dr. Gloria Mitchell with Good News for You, a weekly program to encourage your heart.
Well, my friend, I'm Gloria Mitchell with Good News for You. Today, I want to talk about the institution of marriage. And yes, I say institution, an institution that God Himself established. And He established it between a man and a woman. And I want to, first of all, point out before we go to Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24, I want to point out that when we look at our scriptures and we talk about man and woman, the name Adam really stands for human, not just a man. But when we look at our scripture, Genesis 2, verses 23 and 24, we have, "The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, the name man in Hebrew is ish, the word for man. And the word for woman is isha. So I-S-H and I-S-H-A-H. So it indicates that the woman is an extension of the man. And so some would say, oh, it seems like the woman is really a man with a womb. In other words, the two of them were anatomically designed so that they would fit together, so that once they come together, they really do form one flesh. And so with that introduction about marriage, where God ordained or established the institution of marriage, I have a guest with me in the studio today whose name is Amber Giroux. Amber is going to share with us about her marriage. So, Amber, would you tell our listeners, please, a little about yourself?
Well, I was married for a total of 23 years to the same man. We dated for 5 years. We were married for 15. We were separated about 3 years, so that's a total of 23 years.
Okay, so you had a number of years with the same person. So the question is this, Amber, it is said that whenever two people marry, that there is a total of at least six people at the altar, wherever they decide to get married, whether it's whether they have a wedding or whether it's going to the justice of the peace or going before a preacher, just the two of them with a couple of witnesses. It could be the preacher and his wife or preacher and her husband. Then whatever's the case, in marriage or to be married, a husband and a wife, according to the scriptures, would go through some kind of legal ceremony. There would be a ceremony, there would be something that's done legally, and then the marriage would be consummated. And that means having sex, if they are indeed able to do so. And I'm referring to maybe a person being incapacitated. Sometimes maybe a person might be on death row or so, and the two of them can't come together. But in your case, when you got married, there were at least six people at the altar. There would be you, the person who you really are, the person who you think you are, and the person who he thinks he is. And the same for him, who he really is, who he thinks he is, and the person that you saw or you thought you saw at the altar. So tell us then, Amber, what were your expectations in marriage?
I was expecting to have a partner, a lifetime partner, someone that I could share my vision, share my goals, and that we would be there for each other.
And what preparations did you make so that you could share your goals and visions with each other?
Well, we sat down and talked. We wanted to know what each other's long-terms and short-term goals were, what we wanted for each other, what we wanted for ourselves.
Okay, so you sat down, you had a discussion. Did you go to any formal premarital classes? And I say that because there is something now going on. It's called covenant marriage, because there is this discussion about marriage either being a covenant, which is permanent before God, or a contract. And, you know, contracts can be broken. So if you buy a new refrigerator and it doesn't work right, then maybe you can, you know, break that contract and say, take this thing back. You know, it's not working for me. So some look at marriage different ways, but in covenant marriage, there is the requirement of having premarital classes or something that prepare you for what you're getting into, because this is major. And then there's some limits as to going to divorce court. And one of those requirements would be perhaps you would spend some time apart from each other. I know in my marriage, whenever my husband didn't really agree with some of the things I did, he'd get in the car and drive away, and I couldn't fuss by myself. So tell me, Amber, what are some things that you all did so that when you had signs, what were some signs of trouble in your marriage, and how did you address them?
When we saw little indiscretions, we would sit down and we would discuss them and we would figure out the way we wanted to resolve them so that they couldn't come back up and haunt us.
Okay. So what worked in the marriage? You said that you all sat down and you decided that you would have certain roles in your marriage, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we know that we are having some breakdowns in marriages these days because some of those traditional roles are no longer roles that people care to have. There's some men who are staying home and taking care of the children. Many women are working outside the home these days. They have really been truly an asset to the labor force. And then there are some people who marry sometimes all for all the wrong reasons. Sometimes they just do it just because it was a thing to do or to get away from home. So what was it that you decided that you folks would do so that your marriage would work, or that you thought it would work?
We wanted a traditional marriage. We discussed that. We discussed what was expected of him, what was expected of me, and we followed that.
Well, let's make it simple then. What was expected of him, since a man is supposed to be, as some say, the provider, and actually husband means tiller of the soil, let's say. He's the one, and he's the provider. But at the same time, there are more things. Some would say that the man is to be the head of the household as well as the spiritual leader. So what were the roles that you agreed upon that your husband would have?
He was the head of the household. He was a provider. I was more the spiritual leader of the house. We both worked, but he was the head of the household.
Was God in your marriage?
God was in my marriage as far as I was concerned.
Oh, did you seek God when you were looking for a mate, or when the question was popped to you as to whether or not you would become someone's mate?
I had talked to God maybe 2 to 3 years before I met my husband. And I had discussed in detail with God what I wanted and what I thought he wanted me to have. So when I met my husband, he fulfilled that criteria except for the spiritual part.
Oh, yeah, I remember I didn't have very much that I asked for. I just wanted my husband to be taller than I was, older than I was, and to have been in the military or going there. And I didn't really ask for much. It's kind of like the qualifications for the presidency of the United States. There are only two qualifications, is that the person would be 35 years old and a U.S. citizen. And then we found out later, like, hey, that's not enough. We're in trouble because we need more than that. So tell us then, what happened? What happened in your marriage? What was it like?
The marriage, for the most part, was... it was a good marriage. It was a solid marriage. We went into our roles. There was no financial difficulties. We hardly ever argued. In the 23 years of knowing him, I think we only had 8 arguments. So we kind of knew what was expected of us. We were both mature in ourselves. And so we didn't have a lot of stuff to go wrong.
Okay, you didn't have a lot of stuff to go wrong, but since we have a part two to this message, and that part two deals with divorce, then I'd like for you to tell us what went wrong.
Over time, we stopped communicating about us. We used to sit down and talk about us and what we wanted and what we wanted for each other. I started to notice there was less conversation about us and more conversation about what he wanted to do as opposed to what we were supposed to do or what we wanted to do. That was the first time I started to notice that.
Okay. Did you feel a lack of love then and respect in your, well, the husband is supposed to love his wife. The wife is supposed to respect her husband. That's scriptural in Ephesians 5. So if that's the case, then did you feel that you were unloved later on in that relationship?
Later on in the relationship, I felt that I was unloved. But from the whole time, from start to finish, I always respected him. I respected him up until the end.
Okay, until the end. The end meaning that... you left the marriage, he left the marriage, or something happened?
He left the marriage.
He left the marriage. And we'll talk about that next time as we deal with this issue of divorce. But before we get into the divorce part, what words of encouragement do you have for someone who might feel that they're married and they're just not getting that love in the relationship? I know, and I just thought of this, there in scripture, during Bible times, a woman could divorce her husband. She could actually divorce her husband if he had a smelly occupation. Can you imagine, like, oh, I want to be close to him. I want to be loved by him. I can't stand the way he smells. He's a tent maker. That means that he worked with leather. Or he was a garbage man or a plumber who crawled in the sewer. And they did things that they didn't bother about their hygiene. And then you're still supposed to come home so tired. And then they want to be intimate with you. So what do you do? What words of encouragement do you have for someone who feels unloved in a marriage?
You have to love yourself. You have to know that God loves you. You have to love yourself the way God loves you. That will take up a lot of the void.
So you learn to love yourself.
Yes.
And you understood that... no matter what happens in that relationship, that you are a whole person all by yourself. It didn't mean that you're a piece of amber and a piece of this person and the two pieces come together to make one whole, but that you're a whole person as a wife, he's a whole person as a husband, and then the two of you come together and complement each other.
Yes.
You understood that?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad you understood it, and I'm glad that we were able to get through the marriage part. Because we're going to get to some juicy stuff called divorce next time. We invite you to tune in to part two as we talk about biblical divorce. May the God of all flesh bless you. Thank you for listening to Good News for You, and have a blessed day. Being caring.
You've been listening to Dr. Gloria Mitchell, author of The Garbage Man's Daughter, a book series written with hurting people and broken families in mind. You can contact Gloria Mitchell by calling 310-973-5802 or write to Post Office Box 5181, Gardena, California, 90249. Visit her on the web at encouragementbooks.com. That's mint with an I as in peppermint. Tune in again next week and be encouraged.